going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and standing with me this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 36. And Pastor is going to have a message, and the title completely intrigues me. Dealing with difficult people. I hope it's not the deacon board. I hope it's not the staff. You know, it makes you wonder what's going to come up in this that I'm going to think, is he talking about me? I hope not, but we'll see. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in the house of God, to sit under the preaching of your word. Father, now we ask that you would bless our pastor, anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey what the man of God would have for us. And in all these things, we give you the thanks and praise, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. So, I spent much of the week with the staff in Florida, and after that time together, the Lord just laid this on my heart. But no, not the case at all. We're following Jesus through the book of Luke this year. Why? Because I want to be like Jesus. Amen? Because I want to be closer to him and more like him each day. And I want those around me to see him in me. Amen? Now, this makes sense, doesn't it? Because the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ ought to be like Christ. This is why church matters. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. So we're going through Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, I think it's important for us to note that in this message, Jesus is not teaching us how to gain salvation and eternal life. Rather, he is teaching what a saved life, what a Christian life, what kingdom living looks like. Now, I want to be clear about something this morning. Being like Jesus, following Christ, is not just morality plus church. It's not just that I'm going to be a good person during the week and show up on Sundays. No, what we're finding in the Word of God here, in this message by Jesus, is that truly righteous living is radical and revolutionary. Amen. Now, last week, we saw that you cannot live for here and heaven. You got to choose. Now, this week, King Jesus is going to teach us how to deal with difficult people. How many of us have to deal with difficult people every now and again? Let me see the hands, all right? If your hand's not up, it's because you are the difficult person. But this is instruction we all need, amen? And so what we're going to find, though, is as we are called to deal with difficult people, we are called to do it in a very different way than the world does it. And so let's jump into Jesus' teaching this morning. Luke 6, beginning in verse 27. There Jesus says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." So I want to see as we get started this morning, Jesus, right off the bat, lets us know that we are to be different in how we handle conflict. Children of God, Christians, are to be different in how they handle conflict. Now, important for us to understand, living in a fallen world, conflict is real and conflict is often unavoidable. But when conflict comes, when offenses come, when opposition comes, we should be different in how we handle it. This much is clear. Now, let me also make some clarifying statements as we get started, because the words of Jesus are often twisted and abused by people. As we look at the words of Jesus, I think we have to understand that Jesus is teaching us what our personal response ought to be like as Christians. This does not remove the criminal penalty for assault and for theft. So God here is speaking to the Christian's personal response. He's not speaking to the obligation of government to prosecute crimes, okay? Also, this does not mean that as Christians we have to sit idly by and watch our loved ones suffer abuse. This is not what Jesus is teaching us. Rather, Jesus is teaching us what our spirit ought to be like when we are handling difficult people in opposition. And really, basically, you see what? You see, we are prohibited as believers from harboring a spirit of revenge. In Romans 12 and verse 19, the apostle wrote this: "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine." Who's speaking there, church? It's who? It's the Lord. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So a spirit of vengeance and a spirit of revenge, it does not belong to me, it belongs to him. So I am prohibited as a follower of Christ from having a spirit of revenge. So what does the Bible teach is our responsibility when handling difficult people? All right, buckle up, because King Jesus is about to get all up in our business. So when we are faced with opposition, with hate, with difficult people, you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that we as Christians are to be peacemakers if possible. Romans 12, we were just there, we read verse 19. Verse 18 tells us this: "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." My flesh doesn't like that verse very much. Can I be honest? My flesh struggles with that verse. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Over in Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse number 9, Jesus said this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So when dealing with difficult people, we are called to be peacemakers if possible. We are called to seek reconciliation and restoration. So over in Matthew 5, Jesus gives the scenario of what do we do if our brother has aught against us, or we have aught against our brother. Jesus said this regarding our personal relationships: "But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar." So to make a modern application, you're coming to church. Boy, coming to church is a pretty important thing, amen? I am glad you're here this morning. But I want you to see what Jesus says. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." In other words, you have offended somebody else. Look what it says. Therefore, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, the elements of reconciliation and restoration, they ought to be a priority for us. Amen. Jesus says so much so, you come to church and you remember that your brother, you have offended your brother. Go make it right. Go make it right. Reconciliation. Restoration for wrong that we have done. So much so in 1 Corinthians 6, you'll remember where Paul forbids us from taking one another to court and says what? That we should rather allow ourselves to be defrauded that the name of Christ be not blasphemed. Now, we cannot force peace. But friend, we do not get to avoid or ignore problems and hope they go away without trying. My flesh doesn't like that very much. But the reality is, when we have to deal with difficult people, every time we are faced with one of these situations, we have to choose our path. Because hear me, when it comes to dealing with difficult people, their actions do not get to dictate my actions. Well, they such and such and such and such. I don't really care about them. What about you? Their actions do not get to dictate my actions. Ooh, here's another one. Here's another one. Oh, I don't like this very much. I struggle with this. But listen, not only do their actions not get to dictate my actions, my feelings don't get to override my faith. Well, my feelings got hurt. That's all right. My faith says get it right. Ugh. By the way, Christian, this is a choice. This includes people you interact with at work, people you interact with in your home, people you interact with while you're driving, people you interact with in your neighborhood, even people you interact with online. We are to be peacemakers, to seek reconciliation and restoration. What does Jesus say here specifically in Luke chapter 6? Beginning in verse 27, he tells us to love our enemies. You know this thing about love? Love is an activating verb. Love is a very practical thing. Love is only valid when it is visible. Love is an activating verb. It causes us to seek the highest good for the other person. And who are we supposed to do that to? Love your, who is it? Your enemies. Love your enemies. Love is practical. Do good, Jesus says, to them that hate you. Boy, that my responsibility as a Christian is to actively do good when others do me wrong. You remember back over in Romans chapter 12, where Jesus said, Paul said, as much as lieth in you, be peacemakers. Paul said, we're not to seek vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Look what he said in the very next verse number 20. He said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, eat your big double bacon cheeseburger in his face. This is so good. Don't you wish you weren't such a jerk? Is that what it says? No, it says what, church? If thine enemy hunger, what are we supposed to do? Tell it to me. What are we supposed to do, church? Tell me. What are we supposed to do, church? If he hunger, feed him. If he thirst, what are we supposed to do? Give him to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Look what it says, verse 21. Read this in unison with me, everybody, nice and loud. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, we're to be different in how we handle conflict. Love is an activating verb. It causes us to seek the highest good for the other person. Love is practical. It does good when others do me wrong. The Bible also tells us, verse 28, to bless them that curse us, to pray for them which despitefully and spitefully use you. Love is also patient and long-suffering. It blesses and prays when others abuse us. Love is meek and merciful when attacked. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. Know what meekness is? Meekness is power under control. Meekness is not spinelessness or weakness. No, meekness is measured. You know, very often when I am wronged, it is within my power to execute revenge. It is within my power to inflict pain on the other person, just like they have inflicted pain on me. And yet we are called to be merciful and we are called to be meek. Meekness is power under control. Just because it's within my power to do it doesn't mean I ought to do it. Let me give you an example of meekness, because so often people think that meekness is weakness, but it's not. Think about a horse, for instance. Horses, big, strong animals. And yet the big, strong animal, when it is broken and trained properly, a small child can sit and lead that horse. Now, strength to strength, that animal could do a whole lot of damage to that child. And yet strength under control allows that horse to be directed. Think about it this way. When a dad is wrestling with his kids, it would be within my power to pick up my child, slam him on the ground, be like, ah, not Christopher. He's a little big for me to do that to these days. Ah, flexing him as they twitch on the ground. I have the power to do that. But just because I have the power to do it doesn't mean I should. Amen? Meekness is not weakness. It is measured strength. By the way, this is not the normal human response when we face conflict. But Christian, we are called to be different. We are called to be different. And I'm going to tell you, church, the choice here is not to be self-controlled, but it is to be spirit-controlled. We talked about love. We talk about goodness. We talk about peace. We talk about mercy, and we talk about long-suffering and meekness. Where do we find all of those together in Scripture? You know where we find them? We find them over in Galatians chapter 5, where it tells us what the fruit of the Spirit are. Christian, we're to be different in handling conflict. Jesus said it is impossible that offenses should come. In other words, conflict is going to happen. Problems are going to happen. We're going to have to deal with difficult people. But we should be different in how we handle conflict. I want you to see what else Jesus said. Has this been helpful so far? Amen? Look what it says, verse 30. Jesus says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive again, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." So how do we deal with difficult people? We recognize, number one, that we are called to be different in our handling of conflict. Number two, Jesus points out that we are called to be different in our higher calling. So we demonstrate the difference on the outside because we are different on the inside. I'm going to tell you, this is the key. Followers of Jesus, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to radical goodness and generosity. Verse 30 reminds us, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Radical goodness and generosity. We are also called to radical grace. As we desire men to do unto us, we need to do to them. In other words, this is not a responsive thing. This is me taking the initiative. I look at you and I say, how do I want you to treat me? I'm not waiting on you. I'm going to go ahead and treat you that way. Boy, that's radical. I mean, I'm all about scratching your back if you're willing to scratch mine. I'm all about helping you if you're willing to help me. I mean, that's the way the world works. But for me to just live in open, radical goodness and generosity and graciousness, boy, that makes me feel a little bit exposed, does it not? But what do? We're different on the outside. Why? Because we are different on the inside. Christians, this is not something we work up. But rather, these outward actions are driven by our inward attitudes. In other words, who we are as Christians, as followers of Christ, determines what we do. Our Christianity determines our conduct. My who drives my do. Never forget, it matters what goes on inside of you. That's why we're admonished in Proverbs to guard our heart. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23 admonishes us to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. And so if I hold hate in here, and I hold unforgiveness in here, and I hold bitterness in here, I'm going to tell you, all of that junk's going to eventually come out. It matters what goes on in here, because what goes on in here eventually will come out here. And what comes out here, if it's going to be right, then what's going on in here has to be right. What is that higher calling? We have to have, we cannot bury our hearts and put on a show. We have to have a higher standard that drives us. And what is that standard as we deal with difficult people? I am not seeking revenge, and I'm not even seeking restitution from them. I'm seeking, what's that higher calling? I'm seeking reward from God. I want God to be able to look on my life, to be able to look on my relationships and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If I live like everybody else, Jesus says, guess what? What reward is there in that? Everybody lives that way. But I'm not seeking revenge. I'm not seeking restitution. I'm seeking reward. And by the way, that gives me resiliency when dealing with difficulty. Because I recognize, as Romans 8:18 reminds me, that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, anything I go through in this life, anything you suffer because of me, if you suffer it righteously for Christ, I'm going to tell you, as hard as it is here, it's not worthy to be compared with the reward we'll receive there. Amen. So that's my higher calling. I am living for His approval. I'm living for His reward. And Jesus draws it out here. He says, if you only love them that love you, how are you different than anybody else? Everybody lives that way. He says, if you only do good to those which do good to you, how are you different than anybody else? Everybody lives that way. If you only give and lend and are generous to those that you think you can get gain from, how are you different than anybody else? Everybody's willing to make a buck if they can. Jesus says, if that's the extent of our love and our goodness and our generosity, well, guess what? You are no different than this lost, sinful world around you. Not only do regular people live that way, you realize that even the most grotesquely wicked live that way. You think about like gangs, for instance. Oh, they'll commit all sorts of crimes, but within that gang, boy, they will love those who love them. They will do good to those who do good to them. They will give to those who they can make a buck from. Think about that. Even the most grotesquely wicked, you think the gangs, you think the mobs, you think about this, even politicians will live that way. Even politicians will live that way. But heaven help us if we don't have a higher calling and a higher standard than the politician. We are called to be different. And that's because we are living according to a higher standard. We have a higher calling. So we're to be different in how we handle conflict. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. We are different in our calling. We don't just love those that love us and do good to those who do good to us. We don't just give to those who can give to us in return. No, it's bigger than that. It's more important than that. It has to be higher than that. Amen? How to handle difficult people. Well, we got to embrace that we are called to handle conflict differently. We're called to live by a different, a higher standard. I want you to see one more thought this morning. Look at verse 35 and 36. Jesus says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Finally, this morning, as we consider how God wants us to handle difficult people, we have to understand this. We are called to be different, not just in our higher calling, but in our heavenly character. What a beautiful summary Jesus gives of this section. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward will be great. What a beautiful summary. Let me just remind us, Christian people are different people. And if you're not a different person, you're probably not a Christian person. I love you, but that's the truth. Christian people are different people. Therefore, Christians will be different, especially in difficult situations and with difficult people. Again, simply put, we cannot live for both here and heaven. And so as we deal with difficult people, we can either live for revenge or restitution here, or we can live for reward in heaven. But we cannot live for both. Some of us this morning, we just need to flat let something go. You've been holding on. You've been carrying baggage. Your heart is weary because you are carrying baggage that doesn't belong to you. Let it go. It belongs to Him. We can live for revenge and restitution here and carry that baggage and look for our opportunity to get even. Or we can let it go and live for reward in heaven. But we are called to be different in our heavenly character. Consider this morning, what example are we following? What priorities do we hold? While others strive for wealth and for power and for comfort, ease, acceptance, popularity, and accomplishment, we, as followers of Christ, strive for spiritual maturity and completeness in Him. We strive to be like our Heavenly Father. He is our example. Consider God the Father this morning. He is so kind. He is so kind, especially to those who do not deserve it. The Bible says that He sends the rain. He sends refreshment on the just and the unjust. God is so kind and so good. Let me ask you a question. If you were God, would you put up with you? Let's move beyond you. If you were God, would you put up with what you see on the nightly news cycle? If you were God, would you put up with the direction that this world is headed? And yet, when you look around you in the world in which we live, what do we see? We see the kindness of God poured out on this planet every single day. God is good. To people who don't know Him, God is good. To people who hate Him, God allowed them to wake up and have breath this morning and put food in their bellies. God is kind and He is gracious. And by the way, He is our example. He is my example. Now, I got to be honest, I'm not there yet. I've still got a lot of growing to do. Amen. But by God's grace, I pray that I'm on my way. And I don't have any plans to stop. Amen. Now hear this. We're almost done. He is my example. And I am His expression. Look what it says. Love your enemies, verse 35. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. That phrase there, when it says that we shall be the children of the Highest, that's not teaching us that if we do these things, we will be saved and that we will be Christians and that by doing these things, we can become the children of God. No. He is my example and I am His expression. In other words, when I live, when I love, when I do good, when I lend, when I do these things like He does, I get to be a reflection and a representation of Him in this world. Christopher, come on up here, buddy. Have you ever heard the phrase, like Father? Finish it. Come on up, all the way up. Like Father? Like Son. Now, I know you'd never know it, but we're related. You still claim me?
Yes.
Good man. All right. We haven't hit the teenage years yet. So I was talking this morning. I talked to him during fellowship time, and somebody stopped me and said, I got to tell you, preacher, that boy is looking more and more like you every single day. I mean, we can go places that we haven't been for years, and we can meet people for the first time. And what do they say? They say, oh, I know who he belongs to, because for better or worse, you kind of look like me. I'm sorry. We can both blame Grandpa, okay? Because I look like him. But for this poor boy, wherever he goes, guess what? They're going to know we're connected. They say, I know who he belongs to, like Father, like Son. Thank you, bud. You may be seated. But hear me, church. When you and I go out into this world, when you and I are faced with difficulty, when people hate us and use us and take advantage of us and abuse us, the Bible says that our response ought to be so different and ought to be so distinct that the world around us can't help but say, I know who he belongs to. I know who she belongs to. Because like Father, like Son, He is my example, but praise God, I have the privilege of being His expression in this world. Dealing with difficult people. Their actions don't get to dictate mine. Because I am a child of the King. Amen. Let me ask you this morning. How are we dealing with difficult people and difficult circumstances? How are we doing? You have difficult people in your life. I have difficult people in my life. We all experience it. Let me ask you, how are we doing dealing with it? You know, you can't get around it. We are called to be different. We are called to be different and to demonstrate the radical love and grace to others that we have received from Christ. Here's my thought, and I'm about done. Why would I let difficult people make me like them when God wants to make me like Him? Dealing with difficult people. Father, we love you. And Lord, this is something that from time to time we all have to deal with. But God, especially in these moments, there's opportunity to be an expression of you and your love and your grace to this world. Help us, I pray, Lord, this morning. Some of us are holding on to some stuff that we have got to just flat let go of and give to you. Lord, give grace to those hearts. Lord, this morning, some of us are in the middle of situations, and it's just painful. But God, that we would see today that we have the great privilege in these painful moments to be a pronounced and powerful expression of our Heavenly Father. Help us, I pray, to take the love and the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering that you have given us and to live as a conduit of that in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name.